Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Access Point. It is Thursday. The Access Point is where we examine real challenges Black and Brown, aspiring and experienced professionals face at work and offer expert advice on dealing with your organization, your boss, your coworkers, and your career. Thank you for joining us this evening. I am Dr. Wendy M. Edmonds. I am an author, followership coach, professor, and I have a research focus on toxic followership. Why do people follow bad people? As you know, I am not here alone. I am here with my awesome co-host, Dr. Lonnie Morris Jr.
Thank you, Dr. Wendy. It's always a pleasure to be here. I am Dr. Lonnie Morris. I am a management consultant and professor. I spend my time helping really, really talented people unpack the craziest things that happen in their workplace. It's always exciting to be here on the Access Point.
So, you know, we keep it real. We have a disclaimer, though. The thoughts and views expressed in tonight's discussion do not reflect the views of any organization with which the hosts or guests may be affiliated.
So don't at me. And tonight's show is really, really important. I'm so excited. We're talking about career paths and all variations of that. So what it looks like to set a goal for how you want to navigate in your career and what it takes to get there, but also what happens when things don't go as planned and how to rebound and reset and recreate. And we've got the perfect guest to help us unpack this and explain this from her own experience and what she's doing in this ecosystem. Our guest today is Tiffany Spencer, who is a 7-time certified Salesforce professional and a Salesforce MVP with over 15 years of experience leading digital transformations for small to large corporations with the Salesforce platform. She is the founder and CEO of Tech Forward Solutions, a Salesforce consulting partner that focuses on training, technology, and talent. She's also the founder and CEO of Tech Forward, a nonprofit that exposes marginalized communities to cloud and SaaS-based technologies and career paths to help participants become more marketable, obtain higher paying jobs, and better career opportunities. She is one of the driving forces behind Dream in Color, a community conference designed to increase opportunities for Black Salesforce professionals. She's a board member for Black Orlando Tech, a nonprofit committed to accelerating minority economic advancement through tech and entrepreneurship. And I could keep going on about all the things that she is, but she's also here with us. She is a proud graduate of, and we just joked about this, the illustrious Bethune-Cookman University in Orlando with degrees in computer information systems and minor in business administration. Tiffany Spencer, thank you for carving out time to be with us. Welcome to the Access Point.
Thank you very much. You make it sound good. You read it really well.
And that you are.
You make us sound good. I'm so excited.
Well, so, I had to make up for not being a doctor. Dr. Lonnie and Dr. Wendy.
Hey, all credentials are good credentials. You got it.
That's right.
We will knight you this evening. You are now Queen Doctor.
Hey.
How about that?
That sounds great. Right. I'll take it.
So we're talking tonight about career paths and trailblazing. I thought there's no better person than the trailblazer personified, Tiffany Spencer. So let's begin by helping people understand what we're really talking about here. What does it mean? The language might be loaded. We're talking about career paths, blazing trails and careers, career ladders. What's at the crux of that? Dr. Wendy, why don't you start us off? Or newly knighted Dr. Tiffany, why don't you start us off?
You know, when you're thinking about career paths, I think everybody kind of has, I feel like some people have an idea and some people have no idea, right? And so some people are very clear about what type of promotions and careers and what's the ultimate kind of top level role they want to have within their industry or field or company. But it could look so different to so many people if they have an idea at all. I did not, to be honest with you. I did not know what.
Me either.
I don't know what I was thinking about. I mean, I had a little bit of a career path, but it wasn't based off of like real life, sort of, because when you're in college, you don't really kind of know how the world really works. So yeah. I knew I wanted to do something in IT. I think I wanted to be a some sort of a business owner, but anything in between, like, I had no idea. And I think even when I first started in the career path, I still wasn't, you know, I worked at NASA for a couple of years and a lot of great companies, and I still wasn't really sure exactly where I fit and what I wanted to do. And so, yeah, it's been interesting.
And thank you, because I had a very similar experience. I came out of business school, and I knew when I was going through all those classes that I didn't want that path that I heard talked about all the time. I knew, and I had alum that I was meeting, and, hey, I work at such and such company, which is this big global space. I'm like, I don't really want to do that. I knew that I wanted to do something different. I know I wanted to be in the area of learning, so that discipline of marketing and sales and all the things behind that. But I knew I didn't want to go that route. And so trying to unpack that for myself was a little difficult in the beginning. And then once I got into my career, it sort of went haywire as well, right? Sort of discovered the path on my own. Dr. Wendy, what's your experience?
Well, my experience is a little different. I didn't go straight to college out of high school. I was the late bloomer. But I did know that I loved teaching. So when I was little, I used to line my doll babies up and teach them and read to them and pretend.
If you could see the look on my face right now.
I would pretend that they were students. So I thought that was definitely going to be what I was going to be a teacher when I grew up. And after entering the field in early childhood, I realized that I enjoyed it, but financially it just was not rewarding. And I never could see myself developing fully in the way that I wanted to do the things that would keep me happy with that salary. And that became a way that I just moved around and moved around and moved around, going to school the whole time. I worked and went to school the whole time. So I've done so much. But I never had the clear path. I followed my heart, and it was really a challenge. It was really a challenge.
And I love that you know that you followed your heart, because I think there are some industries and roles that have a more clearly defined career path. I think if you're going to, and you mentioned this, Tiffany, that you were in consulting. If you go into a consulting firm, the path is pretty much laid out what you need to do, right? You sort of take on these projects, you get on a project like X, you work for this person, you move up, you go to partner. If you're in law, you know you're going to be a partner. Some of these spaces, you know, the outline for the roles you need to have, the types of work you need to do. But as we're noting, the three of us who are all successful, that it doesn't always appeal to everyone. So what's that thing that we need to get up under to help people unpack when the career path that might be laid out isn't really jiving with what they feel at their heart, which you mentioned, Dr. Wendy?
Now, do you feel like consulting is a straightforward path? You know, well, let me tell you. So I'm thinking to myself, so when I got a role and I got into a company and I was looking around, I was still trying to figure out what do all these different places, like, what do these people do? What are their jobs? Who's the person in charge? Like, it's still, I don't know why, but it still took me a while to kind of figure out who was who and what I thought I wanted to do. Was that clear for you, or was I weird?
Well, no, you are not weird. And I love that you answered that question, because I went to work in the second part of my career, when I left higher ed administration, I went to work for a consulting firm, and they sent me on three projects. And every time I would just sit there like, I have no clue what's happening right now. Everybody's moving. Like, nobody really gave me anything to do. The language they used was I was going to shadow. I'm a researcher, so I know what it means to shadow. I conduct research with shadowing all the time. Well, that's not what I was doing. I was really sitting. There was no shadow. Everybody was working. So I'm thinking somebody's supposed to come to me and tell me what to do and give it. And their expectations that I would just jump in and do stuff. Like, I don't know what to do. There are 200 people here. They're all working on different things. Nobody's handed me the task. The expectation of me being a new person in this space at this location is very odd. So to your point, Miss Tiffany, no, I was totally lost.
I think I'm just now trying to kind of can explain to other people what jobs are, but it took me a long time to figure out what I was doing for sure.
And so that's a really good point for us to jump off of here, because if you're not clear, if the path is not laid out for you in your role, in your organization, in your industry, and we know you couple that with particularly the times we're in now where there's a high degree of change happening, all the things that we're doing sort of post-pandemic, and we've got a weird economic forecast, right? All the things happening there. And the employment landscape is weird. So we see tech firms that are laying off. We see all of this happening. How should people be thinking about their own paths and trailblazing right now? And I want to sort of put this in context. I saw this study that's from earlier this year from researchers in Hungary, and they talked about design thinking, which is this really structured, iterative process for problem solving. And we see it in engineering, we see it in education, we see it in business, where you're using models and prototypes and feedback loops. And it really is, the underpinning of it is getting feedback from stakeholders to inform the solutions that you want. And I work with a lot of education-focused organizations, and I see that all the time, finding out from the people in the community how we want to change that. And because it involves stakeholders, right? It's about this iterative process, asking people, putting that into the system, figuring out a new thing, refining that, doing it again. And there are all these things in the design thinking space about accepting uncertainty, human-centered approach, visualization, storytelling, systems thinking. So they're saying that this is a model that we use in business that people can use in their personal lives. So if we're up against the economics, layoffs, post-pandemic, what are the tools people need to sort of think about how to consider their path right now? Tiffany.
You know, when I was listening to you, I was thinking that one of the things that I feel like I didn't do when people don't do, which would I think would be one of the first pieces to using these methodologies, is to do more research. And so even understanding the options, being doing more research like LinkedIn, Google, just being more immersed in the industry, so that you could go through an iterative process of saying, let me look into this role. Maybe I want to work toward this role. Okay, I'm in this role. I don't like it. Let me go back and think about it. And so thinking about that iterative process of, okay, let me list out some things I think I might be interested in. Let me try that. I don't feel like we would take that approach to our actual careers and career paths to be able to find that thing, like Wendy was saying, that we just love and we want to do and we feel it in our heart. I never took that kind of approach with my career.
And can you see Dr. Wendy doing that with her dolls right now?
She was like, I feel it. It's awesome.
You know, we get into careers and don't realize that there are so many different things that we can do. So if we begin in one area, I mean, just take, for instance, take cosmetology. You can do hair, you can do nails, you can do fashion, makeup, and sometimes people get siloed and then decide, this isn't what I want to do. Do I change fields or do I stay in the industry and find something else that works well with that? You can become a colorist. I mean, there's so many things to do for natural
hair. You are schooling me right now.
For natural hair, I mean, that could be your specialty, that's all that you do. And finding your niche. So it may mean that it used to really look bad to move around and have that on the resume. But now it's a different day and time where it's more expected because we realize that people get into positions that may not be a fit for them and moving around isn't so bad.
You know, but do you feel like the way that people talk about careers and the way things are positioned, people, you lose that kind of creativity. It's like when you get out of school and then you get out of college, it's like, okay, straighten up now. You got to be serious. And so I think people, right? And so I think that that thinking about your career in that manner where you can to creatively think about how can I make money, I don't feel like people do that. Because like you said, you could be like, okay, I don't like doing these braids, but I might like color, or I might like selling a braid hair, just thinking about what's the next step from this thing that I like.
Yeah, I was really interested in the chemistry of cosmetology. And everybody looked at me cross-eyed. And I remember comments were made like, I can't believe you're doing hair. I thought you were smart. Well, let someone get in your hair and not understand chemistry.
Right.
How about it?
Okay.
You're going to have hair like Lonnie.
I do not like that comment at all. But I think that's important. And I want to bring this in because I just saw this yesterday. And I think it speaks to what you just talked about, Tiffany, with sort of how the language and conditioning about career and understanding career path can be challenging, because people sometimes, they don't explain it in a way that's digestible and relatable, particularly if you're young in your career space or trying to figure out a new one. So I saw this yesterday, and this was in Business Insider, and this is, and I dislike it so much, not the publication, but I dislike the pretense of this. And it's this article, and it says that 12% of managers say they fired a Gen Z employee in their first week of work.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
Here we go.
They surveyed like 1,300 managers, and they said that almost 75% of them said they felt that Gen Z folks were more difficult to work with, and that 12% said they fired at least one Gen Z employee within their first week on the job. Now here, and this goes to what Tiffany just talked about. And they cited things like their issues with motivation, that they were easily distracted, that they might be easily offended. But when I read this, what I thought about is, we are now typecasting a whole generation.
Exactly.
And we are possibly misunderstanding what their needs are from the workplace, and particularly when it deals with managers. And Wendy and I know from the work we did for the book When Leadership Fails that a lot of this dismay happens when there's someone new. So if there's a new boss coming in or a new person entering, and they don't really understand the culture or even the microculture of the group that you're on, and they're trying to understand it in ways, and how they're expressing their frustration or their confusion comes across differently. And so if we don't take time to understand them and to help bring them along, like you just mentioned, Tiffany, even with understanding the career path and what it looks like, then we start to see stuff like this. Now they get fired, right? So what do we do to help safeguard against people who are facing this because the economy is slow? There might be an industry disruptor that's changing what's happening. There might be, we just saw this with the voting machines, where there's some defamation to your reputation.
That's right.
At stake. You've got a new boss, you're getting typecast. So people are getting derailed and delayed and sometimes just knocked off their path for just trying to understand what's happening. How do we help them?
Well, I would say that we often interview the Gen Zs, and they get such a bad rap. I tell you, I think the way they get demonized is so totally unfair. I would like to see the day when we have them come in and interview us.
I'm with it.
That's what we will learn from them.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a little bit of sharing that needs to happen. So with some things that are lost in translation. I also think that we're not truly preparing people for the corporate culture. One of the things that, so when you talk about all these like different, you know, I do tech training, and so in this workforce development space, and the new thing is, you know, transition into tech. The problem with that is when people get into tech, they need to understand what a tech environment is. And that tech environment, when we don't prepare people, you get what you're talking about, right? Where people are being let go, they get really discouraged, and then people write these hit pieces on a generation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
I think that we're not properly preparing these individuals to go into to understand corporate culture. And corporate culture is not changing, so I don't even know how you change it from that side, right? I think there's some work that needs to be done on both sides. People definitely need to be a little bit more resilient, but they need more strategies to understand how to properly navigate the workplace. And then on the other side, like you're saying, okay, there are people inside of the workplace that have been there for 30 years that don't even understand what's happening outside of their jobs and the culture shifts and all the shifts in the space. And it's really interesting to see. And it's almost like the sink or swim type of deal when you put people into the space.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's bleak. That's sort of sad. I mean,
sorry.
But the tech industry hasn't changed. I sat beside a colleague who was saying how in the tech industry, it's still very conservative. So when you look at the fashion that still in corporate is, it may not look acceptable. And so I told her, I said, that's why I hate khakis and polos to this day.
I feel like you're judging me right now.
Oh my gosh, if I see another khaki but really, I agree with you that we have to prepare them for the environment that they're going into, and be realistic about making a change.
And you know what's
or
funny
not.
Too? Right. Or not, that part, because that's again about the part of being real with yourself and what do you really want to do and getting putting on that path. Because even with tech companies, what's funny what you said is there are companies that pretend, I don't say pretend, that's wrong. They appear to be progressive, but then underneath they're still super conservative. And I never thought about it until you said that.
Oh, I have experienced that. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm thinking right now is about back to the khakis and polos, because I imagine, Dr. Wendy, if you hate khakis and polos, then you would hate all the meetings I go to now in my Zoom shirt, because everybody in every meeting in every city at every time of the day sees the same shirt from me that just hangs up right here by my webcam. That's it.
When they start passing the hat for people to donate, you'll understand.
That's my Zoom shirt. So how much of this, Tiffany and Dr. Wendy, how much of this idea of blazing trails in your own career and understanding career paths, how much of this is really the debate about intrapreneurship versus entrepreneurship, right? And I think, Tiffany, you definitely can speak to this for us, having founded multiple companies and doing work in the ecosystem to help other people get under just the tech space, but also in the entrepreneurship space. I read this blog, and shout out to Tiff. It's not Tiffany Spencer, who's our guest, but there's a blog called Money Talk with Tiff. And she talks about, it's probably about a month ago, harnessing the power of entrepreneurship to take your career to the next level. And we're looking at the entrepreneur, which is really about someone who has some authority within a current organization to work across units, across departments, maybe across divisions, to take some initiative to create services and products that push forward the organizational goals. And they're typically pretty strong in communication, collaboration. They are prone to take risks and creative problem solving, and they have lots of organizational knowledge that helps them navigate those things. But I think when we're talking about career paths, like all of us, when you jump ship sometimes, not just from one organization to the next, or even outside of what the path was you thought, right, that there's some level of entrepreneurship in there as well. Some people are going to say, I need to come out of the workforce in this way and create my own. So what are we talking about here on this spectrum of creating within one organization or creating outside of that? Tiffany, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so I like to tell people to create within, especially in this economy. And I think that's where that kind of being creative comes back in, where you could say, okay, do I really need to leave this place in order to accomplish what I think I want to accomplish in my career? And is there a way for me to get some of the skills and some of the things that I need right where I am, especially if this is a place that you kind of like, you already know the lay of the land, right? So I tell people every company has, it's a different game, different rules. And so when you get in there, your first, you know, 60, 90 days is learning the rules. And when you get in there, and if you've been there, I think it's better to think about it as an entrepreneur and figure out where can you go? How can you make a role that fits your current goals? What I found, because not only have I had multiple companies, I've also been let go from multiple places. So.
Talk about it. Yes. Talk about it.
What I found through that journey is that I actually fit very well in the entrepreneurship landscape. But it took me a while to get there. It took multiple roles, multiple companies. And so, but I like, depending on the person, I like the idea of looking internally. And I wish I had more of the skills that you called out, the communication and things like that at that time, in order to be able to better create something for me internally at a company.
Wow. That's powerful.
Wow, it is. It is. And I think of myself as the entrepreneur, although I'm an entrepreneur as well, because I really, once understanding the landscape, and I think because I have done so many things and my background is speckled with multiple skills from changing jobs throughout my career, that it has been boot camp and prepared me to do the things that I'm doing and also to help others. Like, the beauty about being an entrepreneur is moving in those spaces and learning to navigate is selfless. And you're always able to help others.
Yeah. And I love that. And that it sort of speaks to my career as well, right? In the earlier parts of my career, I was, I don't want to say jumping ship, but I was moving from one organization to the next, probably within 2 to 3 years. But as you mentioned, Tiffany, I sort of found my niche early and understood with before we even had the language around entrepreneurship, how to carve out, here's the path, here's what I'm really good at, here's where I can focus, and I can do this. I know how long it takes to get this up and running, and then I move on to the next place where I can do this for a little bit more money and get a little more exposure. And I was honing those skills without knowing it, really, because I didn't have someone in the space telling me, here's what to do. I think there was a pretty clear path for people who were in my role, but I wasn't interested in that at all. But I was moving, like you just mentioned, Dr. Winnie, from multiple organizations saying, okay, here's what I need in this space. I'm going to move to Florida and do that for 3 years. This is what I need in this space. I'm going to go to Maryland and do that for 3 years. But it was building what you just mentioned, Dr. Wendy. It was this boot camp, right? It was a boot camp that I was driving, figuring out what do I need, what do I take, and how would I bring it to another space and recreate what I want. And you mentioned this also, Tiffany, about figuring out how to shape the role. I think I figured that out much earlier than people might imagine. And so I was doing those things all the time and taking hits, taking risks, but definitely pushing forward.
And see, and my silly self was taking 10 BA roles, and then I figured out that wasn't the right role. And why wasn't I getting anywhere? I'm telling you, I was going into the same role over and over thinking it was the company and it was the role.
Ooh, ooh, say that again. I think people need to hear that. That's important.
One more time.
Listen, I was going into the same role and thinking that it was the company that was causing me trouble, but it was really, I was in the wrong role forever. Like, I literally drew out my, I did this in a presentation, I drew out my career path. It was like business analyst, business analyst, business analyst. It was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever had to write.
You were the best, worst analyst they ever had.
Yeah, I analyzed everything but my damn career. miserable. And I'm like, I'm not doing well in this role. Why didn't dawn on me to look at another role? I don't know. Because if I talked to you, Lonnie, I'd have been like, well, let me try this role and do this next. And not having a plan, not thinking about it, and just focusing on just getting a job, right? I was like, oh, shoot, okay, well, this job didn't go well. Let me get another job. And so thinking about it in that manner and not taking a step back to do some real evaluation did not serve me.
That's why career development is so important, mm-hmm. because these conversations have to take place. Career development showed up every time I was laid off. And
let's talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Pick up the magic career counselor.
Oh my goodness. And the most they could do is, excuse me, tell me that they were going to help me to write my resume. I don't need help with that. I know how to write a resume. I need to find another job. How do I do that? Like, what am I looking for?
I didn't tell you I can't write.
Right.
I can write.
It's the same thing. I never ran into anyone. And I ran into people who referred to themselves as coaches. And it all started, the only advice was everything I already had. If it wasn't for the wonderful library and bookstores, I probably would never, ever have done anything except find myself in that wheel like you did, Tiffany, and just keep doing the same bad thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I had to take that time to look at, okay, what am I doing? What do I want to do? What am I good at? And so I'd been in that same bad rut for so many years that I actually didn't know what I was good at. I didn't think that I was a leader. I had never imagined before four years ago that I could run an organization or run a business, because I had been in the wrong roles. I had not done any career development. I clearly didn't have a good mentor in that area. And so all of that led me really missing out on probably great opportunities.
That makes me think about the expense that we incur as Black and Brown women in those spaces, making those mistakes without true career development, without tools to help us to navigate those spaces, right? The time that we waste actually weighs on you mentally. It also, from a self-esteem aspect, how do you begin to see yourself as a leader?
Yeah.
And you know, because sometimes you get typecast in the role, Tiffany, that you've been playing over and over again, even though you have been doing it well. So now your resume says, I'm an analyst and I have the analyst background. But because you haven't proven yourself in other areas, because like you mentioned, Dr. Wendy, you haven't built the confidence to be assertive in other spaces, you only know this unsuccessful path. And you're in this rut, like you described, right? And you can't get out of it. And there aren't people who are always willing. Now, there aren't always people in our spaces where we are to help pull us out, right? Everybody doesn't have the opportunity to launch multiple companies and be successful like Tiffany Spencer. Some people get stuck trying to get out of this, the colloquial hamster wheel. They keep putting you in the same role, giving you the same responsibilities, and you aren't growing, and the frustration just becomes overwhelming.
Yeah. And so here's the question then. Where do you learn to do this career development and find career mentors and create this plan? Because I may have missed it. I can't remember ever clearly being told to do that.
And then there was silence. Well, I think right now we say you learn that at the access point, right? And that's part of the reason why this show exists, because we know these things didn't exist for us and don't exist for Black and brown people who are having these same types of conversations, whether they are just coming out of college, like you were talking about, Dr. Wendy, thinking about doing these things that people are saying you shouldn't, or whether they are in their early career, Tiffany, and continuing to do the same roles because this is the path that your school told you you should go down, that the people that you met with who were alumni who were coming to visit thought, here are the roles that we have open, what you should do. But who helps us figure it out? What makes sense? I saw something in Harvard Business Review earlier this week, and it's a study out of Arizona State, and this is going to part of your question, Tiffany, that there's this, the study is called, the article is called, Are You Hung Up on a Career Path You Didn't Choose? And I think that is a critical question related to who helps you get out of this. And they talk about two particular things that can be helpful if you find yourself on the wheel that Tiffany just described. One is about crafting your work identity. And so they note there's some significance to being proactive and shaping your role. And you noted that earlier, Tiffany, shaping your role to what makes the job more fulfilling. And that goes back to some of the entrepreneurship stuff. And the second thing they have, and I think this is probably the important one that comes some of the internal stuff that we've got to help people get to, is cultivating an internal locus of control. And so that is developing the mindset that you are responsible for shaping this, that the things that happen to you are a result of your own actions, and that you take a sense of ownership around it to begin to navigate it differently. How do we manage this sort of internal conflict of not always having people in the space to help us get out of it, as Tiffany questioned, and having a little voice inside your head that says, but I know something here is not right?
Yeah. You know, I was talking to some people yesterday about this, about people not being curious enough.
Right. Ooh, I like that word.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have this natural curiosity in order to further explore that feeling, and somewhere I think that some people are not taught to follow that, and that kind of prevents you from doing the things that we're talking about. It's very unfortunate. It's the same reason why, like, I have a class and people won't ask questions out loud in front of other people, or they won't take that next step. And I think that that is part of the challenge here.
I talked to a young man just last week who was early in his career. He's in a master's program, and he told me when they have these conversations about his field, about his discipline in his graduate level class, he does not speak up because I see things differently and I don't want them to look at me differently. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So he's been conditioned to think that his way of thinking, his divergent thinking, his different perspective, his new vantage point is not welcomed in discussion with other people who are at a graduate level of beginning a graduate level understanding of this and pushing forward in their careers.
Wow.
But that's the response. That is true. That's the response that we get. So I understand the fear. I would hope that he moves past that. But the fear is a result of the response to being different. So goes back to what you said earlier, Tiffany, that, you know, a lot of the companies have these wonderful websites and they talk about diversity again, right? We love this. We welcome it and we embrace it. And the minute you get someone with a different communication style, leadership style, claws come out because people are not accepting of difference. Mm-hmm. And yet that could lead to any type of solution or at least discussion.
Yeah.
But when you are different and you know you think differently, it's hard. It's hard to be the orange on a table full of apples.
Mm-hmm. And it takes us so long to get there, but we're okay with being different. Like, it took me too long. And I think that contributes to, you know, some of the wage gap. It takes us too long to get to a point where we're okay with it, and then we know how to operate in that.
And I've experienced that. Right. I'm stumbling on my words here because I've experienced that so many times in my own career, particularly being a young person who moved up the ladder relatively quickly and also changed roles in organizations pretty frequently. So I was always a new face, a young face, a change agent, coming to a space with a culture that already existed and trying to take my divergent thinking and overlay it on what they were doing to get new results. And that is frightening for people, right? Dr. Wendy, you mentioned there's some fear. That's frightening for people. And we see that in what we saw with that study earlier about typecasting the Gen Z folks, right? It's frightening because you're offended by the things that I say that are offensive, right? So there's something innately significant and important for these conversations, for this conversation with the two of you, to help the people who are listening, to help even us as we're reflecting our own careers, at least for me, to embrace the creativity, the divergent thinking earlier.
Yeah, I think so. I when you talk about, you know, blazing the trail, I mean, you have to, there has to be some sort of confidence in you being okay being on your own trail in order to blaze it, because it's your trail, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if that doesn't get to people faster, they don't know that's where they're moving toward, then you can't get there.
It's such a price that you pay for being different. And if we seek the mentors early on in careers, the Gen Zers, talk to your external board of directors like we always recommend that you have. The time it took us to feel comfortable with being different, your time will be cut in half. I think that's the black and brown tax, but I better hold on to that comment.
You always pushing the envelope. That's why they ain't like you. Exactly it. So I think we've hit on some really critical things in this conversation. I think when we take a step back, we've noted that when you're thinking about career path and blazing your own trail, that an employee level, there's some things we want you to consider, right? So it's follow your heart. And that can be hard sometimes, particularly earlier in your career, maybe sometimes even later in your career, once you've been established in sort of this regimen all the time. But follow your heart. And there's significance to that. There's importance to that, letting your heart speak through you and what you're doing and what you're taking on. Do your research. Get an understanding of the options. Get immersed in the industry, whatever that industry is that is of interest to you, and figure out what the possible options are and how to align yourself with the ones that make sense. Figure out what is your specialty and develop your niche. And I saw something on another blog post earlier this week saying that generalists are not successful, right? There's success in being very niche focused and providing value for just the type of thing that you do. And decide if moving around helps you move forward. And that might be moving around within one organization and sort of job sharing and doing other things, or to new organizations. Unpack what you really want to do. And we know that can be hard, because figuring that out might be difficult. And sometimes we have multiple ideas floating in our head and trying to figure out how it works with what we've been told or how we've been conditioned. Get to know how to create something within the organization. There's some value to the space that you're already in that can help you accomplish the goals that you have in your career. Learn the rules, learn the landscape. Embrace the idea of the entrepreneur. How can you make the role that you're in fit the desires that you have career-wise? recognize that career changes can be your own unofficial boot camp. Think about the lessons you learn from each space, the lessons you learn from each organization, the lessons you learn from each role, and how do you build upon those as you continue? Is it, I love this one, Tiffany, is it the role or the organization that's causing you trouble? You've got to get clarity around that, because if you aren't clear, you may continue repeating the same mistake of getting that role again, then maybe the role is what doesn't fit for you. Have a plan. And we talk about having a career plan on the Access Point all the time. Planning is so critical to this. Then decide, when do you take a step back to reevaluate? There's always value in driving forward, but you have to assess and refine where necessary. For the leaders and managers and supervisors, the question we want you to answer is, are you killing your employees' creativity? Are you typecasting them by gender, by race, by generation, by interest? And is that thwarting their growth, not only professionally, but also personally? What is being lost in translation? The new person entering doesn't always understand. And are you making assumptions based on how things have always been in your space that don't translate well to someone who's new and trying to understand the space? How much are you sharing? Sharing information, not just about the role and about the job, but about the industry and about the ecosystem, is helpful and allows people to find their path in the spectrum of career planning. How are you helping people develop the skills? And Tiffany said this, develop the skills that create the value for themselves in the organization. Sometimes the role is good, but the skill set they have isn't fully developed yet, and they need time to grow in those areas so they can maximize the potential. How are you removing the fear that people experience in the workplace about being different? Do you have unwritten policies, unwritten practices, a culture of ostracizing people who are divergent? From a group and team perspective, think about how you socialize people when they're new in your space. What things do you tell them? What things don't you tell them? What opinions do you offer? What do you not share? Figure out as a group, as a unit, where does career counseling come in? There should be some level of accountability to the people who are in the team with you and moving forward, not just for the unit growth and organization growth, but for the professional cadre of all those involved as well. How do we show up for each other? And we talk about this often. How do we defend people or take up for people who think differently and may get ostracized? When, I love this one, Dr. Wendy, when do your claws come out? Think about that in terms of your own group practices. When have you turned your back on someone for offering a different opinion? How do you deal with that as a group? How do you correct those practices? From the organization, what are you doing to prepare people for what Tiffany said is the corporate culture that doesn't go away? Sometimes socialization is lacking in some of our industries and some of your organizations. What are you doing to help people get ready for that? Is your corporate culture keeping up with the workforce changes? Is the reason why we're typecasting Gen Z employees because they're stepping into something that is antiquated and they're thinking about it as different and they want to drive it in a way that makes sense to them with their new sense of values and how they want to bring that to the organization and is pushing them away the right thing to do? I love this one. Is your organization pretending to be something that it is not? Are you really what it says on your webpage? How are we, and the last thing for organizations, how are we helping people explore their curiosity? That is the important thing with navigating the career path, career ladders, all these bridges that we want people. There's got to be this independent, individual curiosity that allows people to explore the possibilities and create success on the other side of that. So if people are not paying attention and not listening to all of the nuggets that you dropped today, Ms. Tiffany and Dr. Wendy, what is the tax? What is the tax that Black and Brown people pay for not heeding this advice today? Ms. Tiffany.
They're going to be in the wrong job for much longer and miss out on making a lot more money.
Sign me up.
It's going to be a literal tax. It's literally going to cost you, and it's going to be not even, it could be financial, it could also be mental, right? But it's costing you.
Wow. Dr. Wendy.
You're missing out on the shortcut, right? You could get stuck. You can continue to go around the same road over and over and over again. But the wisdom shared here today will help you with a shortcut to success, to making money, to building your career, your skill set, and beginning when you are a Gen Z. We were all Gen Zs before. And so this is what happens if you don't want the shortcut.
And I think ultimately, not heeding this advice prevents you from doing what Dr. Wendy did, creating a classroom with your teddy bears in your room. And I say that facetiously, but also metaphorically, because that was about tapping into creativity, tapping into passion, tapping into values, and beginning to fantasize about what that could look like for you on your own, in a safe space with no one judging. That's the step that we need. So if you don't follow these instructions, you miss that chance to play with your dolls and teach them in a space that helps you grow and bring that value out into the world. It is always a pleasure to be here with you, Dr. Wendy, on the Access Point. Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us. Let's keep this conversation going, everybody. You can access you can listen to the Access Point wherever you get your podcast. Like, share, comment, subscribe. If there's something that we share that resonated with you, if you got another question, there's an aha moment, or you got some thoughts about a future discussion, use the hashtag TAP Reflections. That's TAP for the Access Point across all your social media channels to let us know. If you want to join us live, we are always here on Twitter Spaces on Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It was a great pleasure talking with y'all. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Thanks for having me.